administrators. And here again, our RAMP administrators show a slightly higher and greater diversity than our department heads. The good news in this slide is that while, again, we don't have the kinds of numbers we'd like to see, we at least have a patent pipeline rather than no pipeline. But we still have a way to go. So how did we get to be leading our peers, and what is being done, and what is important? What is very important is faculty development. The efforts are critical to advance not only the quality of all of our faculty, but to advance diversity as well. While our faculty, when they arrive on campus, especially our junior faculty, are trained to be scholars and researchers and generally have good teaching skills, they have not necessarily gone to balancing school, where they've had to excel in all three spheres of research, teaching, and service. Therefore, any well-crafted support programs, be they mentoring programs or teaching academies, help a faculty member to succeed. Similarly, research opportunities are very important. Cluster hires, providing a cohort of peers in an area of expertise. Again, Kara Federmeyer gave some very good examples of in her own research and her work at the Beckman Institute. And as you just heard, scholarship opportunities like sabbatical education are an important rejuvenation. And finally, we need to recognize the achievements of our faculty by giving them awards, by giving them endowed professorships. All of these attributes will then contribute to the promotion and tenure of the faculty member. And once they reach the stage of full professor, many show an aptitude for administration, and the onus is on the university to provide them the necessary tools to become a leader. There are a number of leadership opportunities, and a favorite is the CIC Academic Leadership Training Program. So what then have been our successes, and what do we have as challenges? In terms of our successes, our numbers as compared to our CIC peers indicate that we've been successful in recruiting. And as I mentioned earlier, this is through a combination of exhaustive networking and attracting the best with what we have to offer. We're increasingly realizing on all our campuses that understanding subconscious bias and providing search committee training for diversity is extremely critical. This led UIC to borrow an idea shamelessly from the University of Michigan, and the University of Michigan was most gracious in allowing us to use this. And at UIC, they use the Clinical Performance Center players, who are normally used to train actors to act as to simulate patients for medical student training, but they were co-opted to create interactive workshops on the faculty search process and how to improve recruiting for diversity. This has paid off in increasing the number of women in STEM disciplines, and so that's one way you can help, that's one of the successes that we can count on. Another success that we can count on that has been effectively used on all three of our campuses is to help a department who is trying to hire candidates under affirmative action goals, to help them in terms of identifying candidates, to help them in providing targeted opportunity programs, underrepresented recruitment programs, to allow them to become more attractive to attract faculty to the campuses. I have this picture up here for a specific reason, because we feed the pipeline in many ways. We feed the pipeline by not only training graduate students, and our underrepresented minority graduate students, for example, from Urbana, have gone on to faculty positions at Research One institutions such as Stanford, Texas A&M, and Rutgers. We also feed our own pipeline as well. And this photograph represents a very interesting experiment that the Chicago campus undertook, and it was a very successful experiment. Through the NSF Advanced Grant, the UIC developed a postdoctoral program for underrepresented women in the STEM disciplines. I have to tell you that NSF's response to this suggestion initially was that we would not be able to get enough postdoctoral fellows because the pipeline was so scant. But UIC did a very successful recruiting effort, and they identified five underrepresented women in the STEM disciplines. And from left to right, only four of them are shown here. From left to right, it's Belinda Akbar, who now has joined the professoriate at UIC and has become the first African-American woman in the chemical engineering department at UIC. Next is Lauren Pintor, who declined a tenure-track position at a local liberal arts college so she could improve her scientific career and took a postdoc at the University of Georgia. Helen Puce is still on the job, is an adjunct assistant research professor at UIC and is looking for a permanent position. And on the extreme right-hand side is Yuniria Sanchez de Leon, who's a tenure-track assistant professor at the University of Puerto Rico, Utuado. She's the PI of an NSF grant that she actually developed while at UIC as a postdoc and is beginning a laboratory for the University of Puerto Rico. So this is a success story of how we can feed the pipeline and not only enhance our own faculty wealth and numbers, but also enhance the academic profile of the academy in general. As I mentioned earlier, a lot of our faculty of diversity have won a number of awards, both internal, like University Scholar, as well as external recognition awards. And we've also nurtured them through various leadership training programs into leadership positions. We don't have to look too far for an example, and I have been given permission to showcase a colleague who's actually sitting at your table right now. Chancellor Paula Allen Mears received her PhD at Urbana. She developed her academic career right from a beginning assistant professor through the promotion and tenure process, the whole works at this campus. Her peers recognized her potential. She was a CIC ALP fellow. She rose to be dean of her college, first here, and then led for 15 years a very successful deanship at the University of Michigan. And we were lucky to be able to recruit her back into the U of I family. So there are leadership opportunities here that we have taken advantage of. Our challenges continue to be many, and these are challenges not only for our faculty, our underrepresented faculty, but our faculty on a whole. Chancellor Easter mentioned today about two high-profile faculty that they have lost because they could not offer them competitive salaries. And it's not only competitive salaries that lure faculty away from the U of I, it also is the infrastructure that's associated with it, whether it's deferred maintenance and paint peeling off from the laboratories, or whether it's extra grant support, extra funding, extra money to recruit students, et cetera. Other deterring factors are the climate and, as I said, the number of students that you can recruit. So how do we keep our momentum despite these challenges? The reality of higher education is that many institutions of higher education have similar goals to us to enhance their diversity. They would also like to ensure a diverse student body to fill the pipeline. We have a recent concern with the pipeline, and especially with the grim budget picture we're hearing from the state. For a number of years, there's been a program called the Diversifying Faculty of Illinois Program, which funds graduate students through the Illinois Board of Higher Education. The University of Illinois has been extremely competitive in garnering these funds. We've gotten as many as 50% of the DFI fellows. Trustee Carroll sits on the board. And so, and I'm also a member of that board. And what has been very, what has been a matter of great concern to us is that last year that budget was cut by 50%, and we have no guarantee that this is going to be a source of money that we can count on for this year. Graduate students are our seed corn, and we really need to preserve this pipeline. The second thing is we need to analyze structural versus contextual diversity. While numbers provide for us, in the words of Pat Guerin, an expert in this area, structural diversity, it is not simply sufficient to recruit for numbers alone. It is important to create the right milieu, what Roberto Ibarra terms contextual diversity. We need to infuse every aspect of diversity into our campus life. We need to create a culture where diversity is foundational and core to the university's mission. We need to provide training and cultural competency. And we need to integrate diversity across the curriculum. We finally need to recognize our promising faculty and advance them through leadership training. So what are we doing at U of I to approach these the U of I approach to these higher education realities? conversations are ongoing on each campus to move from examining diversity as a structural issue to one where we can contextualize it as part of our core mission. In Urbana, Project 2012, Transforming Illinois and Re-envisioning Diversity and Inclusion, is an exercise that was undertaken about 2 years ago, and a very detailed couple of hundred page report submitted to the then chancellor. And the implementation of Urbana Project 2012 is underway. In Chicago, there is a process of diversity strategic thinking and planning, and at that campus, this model of first thinking about the strategy and then planning for the strategy has worked extremely successful, and the thinking stage is almost over and they're into the planning stage. In Springfield, diversity roundtables for faculty development have been started, and this again promises to provide a lot of support for faculty development. More recently, as part of a university-wide effort from central administration, we've started a cross-campus dialogue by constituting a diversities task force. We had one summit last fall where the theme was, how do we make diversity foundational? The core mission of defining who we are and what we stand for, and how do we accomplish this? Our next summit is going to be on centering diversity, securing excellence in uncertain times. We want to make this an ongoing conversation between the three campuses and central administration. And it's been a real learning exercise because we've been able to share best practices between the campuses. It is really appropriate that this week the Daily Illini is running a series of three articles that highlight the need of increasing women faculty in the STEM disciplines. Finally, we're cognizant that in order to be truly inclusive, we need to consider all underrepresented groups. Thank you.
Any questions or comment, any feedback from any of the board members?
Just a little, Chairman. I think it would be beneficial at maybe a future meeting to get a deeper dive on these initiatives that you highlighted, Mina, the Project 2012, and Urbana, Chicago, the diversity strategic thinking and planning, and the Springfield diversity roundtables for faculty. I'd like to get more exposure to exactly, you know,
sure,
what's taking place in those particular initiatives. But I thought it was an excellent presentation and very encouraging.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll be more than happy to provide those.
I didn't know whether it might be possible for you to share some of the information on page 9 on the RAMP administrators in the same format that you used on page 5 and I think 6 to show the change over time. You could send that out.
Change over time, yes, we could do that.
If you could send that out to us.
Sure.
I don't know, Lawrence, if there's written material on these, we may be able to get it in advance of the next meeting, which would be...
It would be fantastic.
I'd like
that
as well.
Sure, we'd be happy to do that.
Thank you, Mina.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we're going to, I think... we're going to hear from the Governance, Personnel, and Ethics Committee, which is composed of trustees Pam Strobel, Karen Hassara, and James Montgomery. And I was hoping Pam, as chair, might provide a report.
Happy to do so. Thank you. Our committee met yesterday, and this was an organizational meeting of our committee. With a title like Governance, Personnel, and Ethics, you can tell that we might have a lot of work to do in the coming years, and so we're beginning to map out precisely what is within the purview of this committee. Starting with governance, we would anticipate that it's this committee that would assume responsibility for making sure that the Board of Trustees is properly educated on things such as ethics, but beyond that as well, best practices of governing boards, whatever might come along that would improve our ability to perform as trustees. That would include an orientation process for new trustees, and we would expect to have our next meeting in June in anticipation of the July meeting, where we could devote some time to training and possibly some additional orientation. And this would be something that we would all discuss together. I'm going to attend the Association of Governing Boards meeting that's taking place later this month. And they actually have a part of the program that is an orientation for people who are new to